If you still don't want to have anything to do with me, I'll leave you alone. Scout's honor. Technically, this isn't a lie. We've already established Boy Scouting was not my thing. Loopholes, remember? Her face contorts into a mask of disgust. Absolutely not. I won't be blackmailed into going out with you. I sit back down. That is the strong choice, the feminist I am woman hear me roar decision. I'm proud of you, Kate. Her eyes narrow suspiciously. Smart girl. Plus, I can't wait for you to see what I have planned for tomorrow. I wouldn't schedule any meetings, though. Might be too loud. Her voice rises with every word, like thunder from a storm that's moving closer. You are a manipulative, childish, vindictive bastard. I'm not trying to be. She makes her way around my desk, and I stand up to meet her. A selfish, self-centered, egotistical son of a bitch. I know. She hits me on the chest with both fists. Whack. I wish I'd never seen you at that stupid club. Whack. I wish I never got this job. Whack. I wish I never met you. I grip her wrists and pull her close. Now here's when we usually start kissing. Were you looking forward to that part? Sorry. Not gonna happen. Because this isn't just about me and my raging hard-on. Not anymore. And I have to prove that to Kate. So I hold back. But don't think it's easy, because it's not. There's nothing I want more than to mold my mouth to hers and remind her of how good it was between us. How good it can still be. I lean in and rest my forehead against hers. She closes her eyes. I brush my nose against hers and inhale, needing a fix. She smells even better than I remember. Like warm cookies in the garden of fucking Eden. And then I whisper, I'm sorry I hurt you. I didn't mean any of it. Not a single goddamn word. Please believe that. Kate opens her eyes. There's surprise in those brown beauties. And fear, like a deer that just caught a hunter's scent. Because she wants to believe me. And she knows I know that. Then she blinks, and her eyes go hard. It's difficult to tell if she's more pissed at me or herself. Probably me. She shoves my chest, and I fall back into my chair. Fuck you! She stalks back around my desk toward the door. Here? Now? I look up at the ceiling like I'm debating the prospect. Well, okay. But be gentle. My couch is a virgin. I loosen my tie and start to unbutton my shirt. She stutters. Then she points her finger at me and practically growls. Yeah, it's fucking hot. Ugh! Then she walks out of my office. She stops in front of the three-man band who have been waiting outside. And don't follow me! As she disappears down the hall, the lead singer looks at me. I nod. And they follow in Kate's footsteps, belting out Heat of the Moment by Asia. Hey, what's wrong? You look worried. Don't be. I know what I'm doing. It's all part of the plan. Chapter 22. I bet you didn't know this, but lots of guys have a thing for Ariel. You know, from The Little Mermaid. I've never been into her myself, but I can understand the attraction. She fills out her shells nicely. She's a redhead, and she spends most of the movie unable to speak. In light of this, I'm not too disturbed about the semi I'm sporting while watching Beauty and the Beast. Part of the homework Aaron gave me. I like Belle. She's hot. Well, for a cartoon anyway. She reminds me of Kate. She's resourceful, smart, and she doesn't take any shit from the Beast or that douchebag with the freakishly large arms. I stare at the television as Belle bends over to feed a bird. Then I lean forward, hoping for a nice cleavage shot. I'm going to hell, aren't I? I can't help it. I'm desperate, frustrated, horny. I said I'd get to this later, remember? Well, it's later. I feel like a shaken can of soda that's about to explode. I know my previous record is 12 days, but this is different. Worse. I've gone cold turkey. Completely. I haven't even jerked off. Not once. In 9 frigging days. I think the buildup of semen is starting to affect my brain, like sugar to a diabetic. Why haven't I used the hand God gave me, you ask? It's a new rule. My own self-imposed penance for my stupidity. I refuse to come until Kate comes with me. Seemed like a good idea yesterday. But after seeing her today, I'm pretty sure the weight is going to kill me. Don't roll your eyes. You don't understand. Unless you're a guy, you can't. You have no idea how important regular sexual gratification is for us. It's crucial. Vital. I'll explain. In 2004, UCLA conducted a survey to determine how highly women valued getting off in relation to other daily activities. You know what they found? 8 in 10, that's 80%, said if given the choice between sex or sleep, they would choose sleep. In that same year, NYU conducted its own study, with rats. They implanted electrodes in the brains of male rats and put 2 buttons in their cages. When the lucky little bastards pushed the blue button, the electrodes triggered an orgasm. When they pushed a red button, they were given food. Care to guess what happened to all the rats? They died. They fucking starved to death. They never pushed the red button. Need I say more? Anyway, here I am, stuck in my own little cage with no goddamn blue button. But maybe I can have the next best thing. I pause the movie. Then I pick up the phone and dial. Hello? Her voice is sleepy, husky. Hi, Kate. Drew? How? How did you get my home number? I looked in your personnel file. Yes, those things are supposed to be confidential, but I called in a favor. I play to win. Never said I play fair. I lie back on the couch while images of Kate in bed dance in my head. So, what are you wearing? Click. That went well. I dial again. Hello? You were thinking about me before I called, weren't you? Click. I smile and dial again. What? Just in case you're wondering, I still have them.
You still have what?
Your underwear. The black lace ones. They're in my drawer. Sometimes I sleep with them under my pillow. Sick? Possibly.
You keep trophies from all your victims? How very serial killerish of you.
No, not from all of them. Just you.
Am I supposed to be flattered? Nauseated is more like it.
I was hoping we could add another one to the collection. Click. Now, this is just getting ridiculous. I dial again.
What do you want?
You and me. Stranded on a luxurious deserted island for about a week. Don't hang up. I'll just keep calling back.
Then I'll take the phone off the hook.
The challenge in her voice brings my semi full throttle. Did I say a week? I'm in a month. At least. Then I'll come over. I'll plant myself outside your door and talk through it. It won't make you very popular with the neighbors. For a few seconds, she doesn't speak. It's after midnight. She's probably wondering if I'm serious. I am. Then she huffs.
Fine. I'll stay on the phone. Do you actually have a reason for calling, or do you just want to annoy me more?
I tell her the bare, honest truth. I just wanted to hear your voice. Not too long ago, I could stop by Kate's office whenever I wanted. I could talk to her, look at her, listen to her. I miss that, a lot. What are you doing? I ask.
Working.
Me too, kind of. What are you working on? A proposal for a new client, Jeffrey Davies. The millionaire? Isn't he, like, crazy?
He's very eccentric, yes.
I heard he's a fucking nutcase. Like one of those Trekkie fanatics who know the Klingon language or surgically alter their ears to look like Mr. Spock. What's he interested in?
Technology. Life-prolonging scientific research, to be exact.
Her voice is comfortable now. Normal. Almost friendly. I have some contacts in cryogenics. I could hook you up. We should discuss it over dinner on Saturday.
Are you trying to bribe me?
Would you prefer breakfast? Lunch works for me, too. At this point, I'd settle for a light midday snack. She snorts. It's not a laugh, but it's close.
Let it go, Drew.
I smirk, even though she can't see it. Not going to happen. I can keep this up forever. I have amazing stamina. But then you already know that.
Do I have to hang up again?
I whine.
No, I'll be good.
I turn on my side. My apartment is dim and still. It feels intimate, like one of those late-night conversations you had in high school under the covers because you weren't supposed to still be on the phone. So what are you doing for Christmas? There's a smile in her voice when she answers.
My mom's coming to visit. Dee Dee's is too, so we're all going out together for Christmas dinner. And then my lease is up next month, so I plan on doing some apartment hunting while Mom's here. I'm hoping New York will impress her. Maybe I'll find a place that will entice her to stay.
What about Warren? Is he still staying with Dolores? Don't want any sneak attacks now, do we? The edge is back in her tone as she tells me,
not that it's any of your business, but Billy moved to L.A. 3 days ago.
Well, doesn't that just make me want to stand up and do the happy dance on my dining room table? Do you guys still talk?
He's going to email me once he's settled. Let me know how things are going.
Kate, what happened between you two that day in your office? I should have had the balls to listen to her that day. I should have asked her this question then. At the time, I thought it'd be easier to pretend I didn't care than to hear her say she didn't. I was wrong. She sounds sad when she answers, and weary.
We talked, Drew. I told him that I loved him, that a part of me always would. I said that I knew he loved me too, but that we weren't in love anymore. Not the way we were supposed to be. Not for a long time. It took a while, but eventually Billy agreed with me. And,
she blows out an annoyed breath.
I don't even know why I'm telling you any of this.
We're both quiet for a moment, and then I just can't help myself. I'm in love with you, Kate. She's silent. She doesn't respond at all. And my chest tightens because I know why. You don't believe me, do you?
I think you're an excellent liar when you want to be, Drew.
Ouch. So this is what it feels like to sleep in the bed you made, huh? It sucks. But my voice is firm, determined, and unfucking wavering. I'm not lying to you now, Kate, but it's okay. Do what you need to do. Curse me out, slap me around, get it all out of your system. I can take it. Because the more you push me away, the harder I'm going to fight to prove to you that this is real, that I'm not going anywhere, and that what I feel for you isn't going to change. And then someday,
Maybe not anytime soon, but one day, I'm going to tell you that you, Kate Brooks, are the love of my life, and you won't have any doubt that's true. After a minute, Kate clears her throat. I should go. It's late, and I have a lot of work to finish.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Good night, Drew.
I grin. It could have been, but you're across town. She laughs then. It's quick and muffled, but it's genuine. And I'm pretty sure it's the best sound I've ever heard.
Sweet dreams, Kate. You know, the ones with you and me in them. Naked.
Click. Chapter 23. The most important game in a rookie pitcher's career isn't his debut. It's his follow-up, the second showing. He has to prove that he's consistent, reliable. Today is my follow-up game. The day I show Kate she's not getting rid of me, and that I'm one hell of a clutch player. I've started with something simple, elegant, something less in your face than the three-man band. After all, you don't always need to drop a nuke to win the war. I had Kate's office filled with balloons, 1,000 of them, each printed with, I'm sorry. Too much? I don't think so either. Then I had a little something delivered to her office, from Tiffany, a small blue box with a note. You already own mine, Drew. Inside the box, on a platinum chain, is a flawless 2-carat diamond heart. Sappy? Sure it is. But women love sappy shit like that. At least according to the films I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the goddamn morning watching, they do. I'm hoping it'll knock Kate off her feet, right onto her back. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you how much I like her in that position. Just kidding. Kind of. Besides, I get the feeling Kate isn't used to getting presents, at least not of that caliber. And she should be. She deserves to be spoiled. To have nice things. Beautiful things. Things her dipshit ex-boyfriend couldn't afford and probably wouldn't have thought to give her. Things I can. And will. I wanted to be there when she opened it. To see the look on her face. But I have a meeting.
Andrew Evans. Still as handsome as the devil himself. How are you, my boy?
See that woman hugging me in my office? Yes, the auburn-haired, blue-eyed lady who's still a knockout, even in her 50s. She used to be my 6th-grade teacher. Back then, her skin was as smooth and creamy as her Irish brogue. And she had a body that begged for sin. Lots and lots of sin. She was my first crush. The first woman I ever masturbated about. My first Mrs. Robinson-like older woman fantasy. Sister Mary Beatrice Dugan. Yep, you heard me right. She's a nun. But not just any nun, kiddies. Sister Beatrice was a nilf. I don't need to spell that one out for you, do I? In those days, she was the youngest nun any of us had ever laid eyes on. Unlike the bitter, black-robed hags who looked like they were old enough to have actually been around when Jesus was alive. The fact that she was a woman of the cloth, forbidden, and in a position of power over us naughty Catholic boys just made it all that much more erotic. She could have spanked me with a ruler any time. And I wasn't the only one who thought so. Just ask Matthew. When we were 13, Estelle noticed Matthew was wincing when he walked. She dragged him bitching and moaning to the doctors, where he was promptly diagnosed with CPS, chafed penis syndrome. The doc told Estelle the condition had been caused by leaving wet swim trunks on too long, and she believed him, even though it was November. Matthew's dick was raw, all right, but it wasn't because of a fucking bathing suit. It was because of Sister Beatrice. You're as stunning as ever, Sister B. You decide to leave the order yet? I don't go to church. Not anymore.
I'm a lot of things, but a hypocrite really isn't one of them. If you're not going to play by the rules, you don't show up for team meetings. Over the years, however, I've kept in touch with Sister Beatrice. She's the principal at St. Mary's now, and my family has always donated generously. She taps my face. Cheeky boy. I wink. Come on, sister, be fair. God's had you for what, 30 years? Don't you think it's time you gave the rest of us a shot? She shakes her head and grins. Ah, Andrew, your charms would tempt the virtue of a saint. I hand her a cup of tea, and we sit down on my unadulterated couch. I was surprised by your phone call, and more than a bit curious. What all have you dug yourself into, my boy? I called her yesterday, and told her I needed her help. I have a friend I'd like you to speak with. Her eyes twinkle. Would this be a lady friend now? I smile. Yes, Catherine Brooks. You always the one kissing the lasses and making them cry. And about what would you like me to speak with Miss Catherine about? You haven't gotten her in the family way, have you? Christ, no. She raises a stern brow at me. Sorry. She nods, and I go on. I was hoping you could talk to her about forgiveness, second chances, redemption. She takes a sip of tea and looks thoughtful. To err is human, to forgive, divine. Exactly. I thought about sending Matthew or Stephen to plead my case, but they're too biased. Kate would never buy it. And before you ask, no, I would never send the bitch. Too risky. When it comes to persuasion, my sister's kind of like a pet lion. Sweet and playful one minute. But if you make the wrong move, she'll rip your friggin' face off. Sister Beatrice is a religious woman. Kind. Honest. If anyone can convince Kate that men are, that I am, capable of changing, it's her. The fact that she adores me almost as much as the woman who gave birth to me doesn't hurt either. And who does the young lady need to forgive? I raise my hand. That would be me. Played the cad, did you? I shrug in the affirmative. And I've been trying everything I can think of since to make up for it, short of tattooing her name on my ass and streaking across Yankee Stadium. I was saving that for next week. Men often want what they can no longer have, Andrew. I like to think that you are not that type of man. So if I speak to the young lady and convince her to trust you with her heart again, what are you intending to do with it? I look into her cerulean eyes and speak without a trace of doubt. I'll cherish it. I'll do anything I have to make her happy, for as long as she'll let me. A slow smile spreads across Sister Beatrice's face. And they say miracles don't happen anymore. She sets her cup aside and stands up. It appears I have the Lord's work to do. Where are you hiding the dear girl? Is she expecting me? I took the liberty of speaking with Kate's secretary. She's expecting someone. She doesn't know it's you. She chuckles. Don't you think that'll ruffle her feathers a bit? Probably. But she won't take it out on you. She'll save all her feathers for me. We make our way to the door. Have you tried praying, Andrew? Prayer is a powerful thing. I think your prayers are a little more powerful than mine these days. She smiles and touches my cheek like a mother would. We're all sinners, my boy. Some of us just enjoy it more than others. I laugh as I open the door. And then the smile slides off my face as I stare at Aaron's back. She's standing in front of my office with her arms out, blocking it, from the woman in front of her, who just happens to be Dolores Warren. After Aaron escorts Sister B to Kate's office, I turn toward Dolores. She's wearing a black bustier, tight leather pants, and red stiletto heels. If this is what she wears to work, I can't fucking imagine what she wears in the bedroom. Must be interesting. Stephen walks up to us, his eyes on the retreating forms down the hallway. Was that Sister Beatrice? Yep. He nods appreciatively. Nice. See? Nilf told you. He smiles evilly at Dolores. Hey, Dee, did Matthew tell you about Sister B?
Kind of.
He introduced us at church last week. Unlike me, Matthew still attends church regularly. He likes to keep his bases covered, just in case. Stephen smiles wider, like a toddler who's about to tattle on a sibling. Did he tell you about CPS? Her brow wrinkles.
What's CPS?
Ask Matthew. He'll tell you. He's kind of an expert on it. He nudges me with an elbow. Alexandra and Mackenzie are coming by later. You want to join us for lunch? I scratch behind my ear. Can't. I've got a meeting. With a guy. About a thing. He's a skywriter. He's supposed to fly over the building at 4. I just need to work out what he's going to write. But I don't want Dolores to know. Can't have her warning Kate ahead of time. Stephen nods.
All right. Later.
I look Dolores in the eyes and flash her one of my classic smiles. She just glares back. I must be losing my touch.
We need to talk.
There are only a few reasons why Dolores Warren would want to talk to me at this point in my life. None of them are pleasant. I motion toward my office. Come on in. This is how it must feel to invite a vampire into your house. I sit down behind my desk. She stands. What can I do for you, Dolores?
Self-castration would be great, but I'll settle for a flying leap off a bridge. I hear the Brooklyn is nice this time of year.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. Besides that, she braces her hands on my desk and leans over like a snake getting ready to strike.
You can stop fucking with my best friend's head.
Not a problem. Kate's head isn't the body part I'm looking to fuck at the moment. Think I should tell her that? Probably not. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about last week, when you treated her like a used condom, and now all of a sudden you're all flowers and music and love notes.
Heard about those, did she? That's a good sign.
So I'm thinking you're either a split personality caused by the raging syphilis coursing through your bloodstream, or you've got an itch for a good challenge. In either case, move along, jerk off. Kate isn't interested.
I'm not into challenges. When Kate blew me off that first night at REM, did I chase her? No. I went with the sure thing. The easy out. Or, in that particular case, the double play. Let's not bullshit each other here. We both know Kate is very interested. You wouldn't be so eager to rip into me if she wasn't. As for the rest of your concerns, I don't do head games. And there's a line of women around the block willing to scratch any itch I can think of. This isn't about getting laid. I lean forward on my desk, and my tone is straightforward and persuasive. Like she's a client on the fence, one I need to sway to my side. I'll admit, my feelings for Kate caught me off guard, and at first I handled things badly. That's why I'm doing all this, to show her that I care about her.
You care about your dick.
Can't really argue with that. She sits down across from me.
Kate and I are like sisters, closer even. She's not a one-night stand kind of girl. She never was. She's a relationship kind. It's very important to me that she's with someone who treats her right. A man.
Couldn't agree more. Most guys would sacrifice a limb for some juicy girl-on-girl action. It's a turn-on. Big time. But when it comes to Kate, I don't plan on sharing with either sex. Last time I checked, that's what I was.
No, you're a dog. She needs a good man. A nice man.
Good guys are boring. You need a little bad to keep things fun. And nice guys have something to hide. Jeffrey Dahmer's neighbors thought he was a nice guy, until they found those heads in his freezer. She crosses her arms, and her voice turns triumphant, gloating. And I know someone who's perfect for her. He works in my lab. He's smart, he's funny. His name is Bert.
Bert?
Is she fucking kidding me? What kind of sick son of a bitch names his kid Bert in this day and age? That's just cruel. He'll show Kate a good time. I plan on setting them up this weekend. And I plan on handcuffing myself to Kate's ankle and eating the key. Let's see what kind of good time Bert can show Kate when she's dragging me around behind her like a Siamese twin. I have a better idea. How about we double? You and Matthew, me and Kate. We'll hang out. It'll give me the chance to show you how perfect Kate and I are for each other. Okay, now you sound like a stalker. You had your chance. You fucked up. Get over it. Pick some other number out of your little black book and leave Kate alone. I stand up. Contrary to what you think you know, I'm not some serial scumbag. I don't lead women on. I don't need to. You want me to tell Kate I'm sorry? I have. You want a guarantee that I'll never hurt her again? I can write you one, and I'll sign it in blood if it makes you happy. But don't ask me to leave her alone, because I won't. I can't. She doesn't move. Her face is as still and hard as a pissed-off statue, and my argument is making about as much of a dent as a goddamn toothpick. Did Matthew tell you what I was like? Do I look like the type of guy who goes catatonic over just any woman? God, Dolores, I fucking worship her. She snorts. Today? You worship her today. But what happens if she gives in? When the novelty wears off and the sex gets old? And some new bitch in heat crosses your path and wants you to sniff her ass? Sex doesn't get old. Not if you're doing it right. I don't want anyone else. And I don't see that changing any time, ever. I think you're full of shit. I'm sure you do. If you dicked Matthew around the way I did Kate, I'd pretty much write you off, too. But what you think doesn't change what Kate wants. And deep down, even if she won't admit it yet, that's me. Could you be any more full of yourself? You may have money, but it can't buy you class or integrity. You're not even close to good enough for Kate. But you think your cousin is? No, I don't. Billy's an immature jackass, and that relationship was going nowhere fast for a long time. Over the years, I tried to tell her, to make her see that she and their relationship had become more about friendship than real love. But by then, our lives, our families, were so intertwined, I think they were both afraid of rocking the boat and losing more than just each other. But he did. Does love her. I'm sure of that. He's just always loved his guitar more. She starts to pace in front of my desk, like a professor in a lecture hall. See, Drew, there are three kinds of males in this world, boys, guys, and men. Boys, like Billy, never grow up, never get serious. They only care about themselves, their music, their cars. Guys, like you, are all about numbers and variety. Like an assembly line, it's just one-night stand after another. Then there are men, like Matthew. They're not perfect, but they appreciate women for more than their flexibility and mouth suction. She's not wrong. You should listen to her. The only part she doesn't get, though, is that sometimes a guy can't become a man until he's met the right woman. You can't make that call. You barely know me. Oh, I know you. Believe me. I was conceived by a guy just like you. Crap. Daddy issues. They're the worst. Kate and I look out for each other, she goes on. We always have. And I'm not going to let her be another notch on your STD-coated bedpost. You ever bang your head against a wall? No? Watch closely. This is what it looks like. She's not. That's what I've been trying to tell you. What fucking language would you like to hear it in? I don't know. Do you speak anything besides asshole? I pinch the bridge of my nose. I feel an aneurysm coming on. Okay, look. You don't trust me? Fine. Talk to Matthew. You trust him, right? He wouldn't want me screwing around with his girlfriend's best friend if I wasn't playing for keeps. She waves her hand in the air. That doesn't prove anything. Penises stick together. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I scrub my hand down my face. Then I take a deep, calming breath. Time to lay it on the line. Put my cards on the table. Throw the Hail Mary pass. I walk to the window, gathering my thoughts as I watch the traffic far below. I'm still looking at it as I tell her, "You know what I saw yesterday when I was coming to work? I saw a pregnant woman getting a cab." I used to think pregnant women were kind of grotesque, deformed. You should have seen Alexandra. When she was knocked up with Mackenzie, she looked like she'd eaten Humpty Dumpty for breakfast. And the way she was chowing down at the time, she totally could have. And all I could think about was how adorable Kate would look pregnant, and about how I wanted to do things for her. Like, if she gets sick, I want to be the guy making her tea and bringing her tissues. I want to know how she got that small scar on her chin, and if she's afraid of spiders, and what she dreams about at night. Everything. It's fucking insane. Don't think I don't know that. It's never happened to me before, and I don't want it to ever happen again, with anybody else. Just Kate. I turn my head from the window and look her in the eyes. If you're ever in the woods and come face to face with a pissed off mama bear, it's always better to look her in the eyes. Run away? She'll feed you to the cubs. One arm at a time. But if you stand your ground, you just might make it out alive. You want to hear that Kate has me whipped? 'Cause she does. She's got me on my knees and under her thumb, and I don't want to get out. We're both quiet after that. Dolores just stares at me for a while, searching my face for something. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know the moment she finds it, because something shifts in her eyes. They become softer, just a little, and her shoulders relax. And then she nods. Okay, then. Some battles don't have a winner. Sometimes the best a good general can hope for is a ceasefire. Kate makes her own choices, she says. And if those choices turn out to be rotten, then I'll help her clean up the mess, because that's what best friends do, help bury the body. She stands up, walks a few steps to the door. Then she stops and spins around with her finger pointing in my direction. You just remember one thing, buddy. I don't care if it's 10 days down the road or 10 years, I'll be watching you. And if I ever find out that you fucked her over, I'll make you sorry. And I work in a lab, Drew, with chemicals. Odorless, tasteless chemicals that can permanently shrink your nuts so small, you'll have to start calling yourself Drusilla. Are we clear? Matthew is out of his fucking mind. Dolores Warren is scary. Definite psycho bitch potential. She and Alexandra should totally hang out. And she's put way too much thought into that little plan for my liking. I swallow hard. Crystal. She nods again. Glad we understand each other. And with that, she breezes out of my office. And I collapse back into my chair and stare at the ceiling. Christ. This relationship shit is exhausting. I feel like I just ran a marathon with hurdles. But you know what? I'm pretty sure the finish line's in sight. Chapter 24. After Dolores leaves, I pick up my briefcase and head out the door to my meeting with the Skyrider. I still have to figure out how to get Kate on the roof. Speaking of Kate, want to swing by her office on the way out? See how her and the good sister are getting along? Her door's open. I brace my hands on the frame and lean in. Can you see her through the balloons? Sitting at her desk with her hands folded on top, a smile stuck on her face as she nods obediently to whatever Sister Beatrice is saying. Ladies, how are we doing this afternoon? Kate turns to me, and her voice is strained. Drew, there you are. I was just thinking about you. From the way she's gripping her hands together, it looks like she was thinking about strangling me. While Sister Beatrice here was telling me the fascinating tale of glass houses, and how those of us who live in them shouldn't throw stones. She's still smiling, but her eyes say something else entirely. It's a little creepy. You know in Texas Chainsaw Massacre when the old man smiles just before he slits the girl's throat? Yeah, it's kind of like that. Sister Beatrice looks at the ceiling.
We are all imperfect in the eyes of the Lord. Catherine, may I use your facilities, dear? Nature is calling.
Of course, sister. They stand, and Kate opens the door to her adjoining washroom. And as soon as that door closes, Smiley Kate goes bye-bye. Mad Kate takes her place. She marches toward me, and the balloons run for their lives.
I'm going to ask you this one time, and if you lie to me, I swear I'll let Dolores poison you.
Okay. Is she a real nun, or some actress you hired? I laugh. I didn't even think of that. No, she's real. Kate is not pleased.
God, Drew, a nun? A fucking nun? This is low, even for you.
I think she's technically a mother superior now. I lean in closer to Kate because, well, just because I can, and the smell of her lotion hits me, hard. I resist the urge to put my nose against her skin and sniff like a cocaine addict.
Is there any level you won't sink to get your way?
Nope, sorry, not a one. I don't mind getting down and dirty. Actually, I prefer it that way. Desperate times. I had to call out the big guns.
You want to see guns? As soon as the flying nun leaves my office, I'll show you guns. I can't believe...
God, she's beautiful. I mean, look at her. She's like a volcano going off, fierce and fiery and breathtaking. If she doesn't find a way to ugly herself down, I'm going to be spending an awful lot of time pissing her off. Which might not be such a bad thing in the end. Angry sex is awesome. I cut off Kate's rant. As titillating as this conversation has been, and believe me, it's been very, I have a meeting to get to. Before I go, I motion toward her bare neck. Hey, why aren't you wearing your necklace? She folds her arms and smiles proudly. I donated it to Sister Beatrice, for the less fortunate. Played that one well, didn't she? I can play too. That's very generous. Of course, I'll have to replace it for you. With something bigger. You should expect another delivery tomorrow. Her smile turns upside down, and she smacks a rogue balloon out of the way. Then she slams the door in my face. I wait 2 seconds before calling through it. Okay. I'll see you later, Kate. Good talk. From inside, I hear Sister Beatrice's voice.
Did Andrew leave already? Such a sweet boy he is, and devoted, too, when he sets his heart to a task. Let me tell you about the time he weeded the convent's garden. It's a long story, but we have all afternoon. There was a scuffle in the lunchroom, you see.
Traffic was a bitch and a half, both ways, but I worked out the particulars with the Skyrider. He was suiting up when I left. I now have just enough time to get to Kate's office and get her to the roof. If she won't come willingly, I'm just going to pick her up and carry her. Although I'd feel a lot better about the idea if I had a cup on. Kate is definitely a kicker. I sprint through the lobby and push the button for the elevator, but what I see when the doors open stops me cold. It's the bitch, with Mackenzie at her side. And in my niece's perfect little hands are strings, a dozen of them. Strings that are tied to balloons. Kate's balloons. Fuck me.
Well, that's a nice way to greet your doting sister and her daughter.
Had I said that out loud? Doesn't matter. Fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck. This is bad. Very bad. like F5 tornado kind of bad, except my sister is capable of leaving more damage behind.
Hi, Uncle Drew.
I smile. Hi, sweetheart. Then I scowl. What the hell did you do, Alexandra? Her eyes widen innocently, like she's surprised.
Me? I came to meet my husband for lunch. Is that a crime?
When I was in junior high, a kid named Chris Whittle sucker punched me when I was coming out of trigonometry. I had hooked up with his girlfriend. She had talented hands. Anyway, the next day, Alexandra paid Chris a little visit and made him piss his pants. Literally. See, according to the bitch code, she can fuck with me all she wants to, but no one else is allowed. Now do you see why I'm concerned? You went to see Kate, didn't you? Mackenzie answers for her.
We did, Uncle Drew. She's great. Kate gave me these balloons and a calculator. See?
She holds it over her head like it's the Stanley Cup, and I can't help but smile. That's terrific, Mackenzie. Then I glare at Alexandra again. She's not concerned.
You said you wanted Mackenzie to meet Kate.
If you put two pregnant hamsters in the same cage, you know what they'll do? Eat each other. Female hormones are like undetonated warheads. There's just no way to tell when they're going to go the fuck off. Yes, I wanted Mackenzie to meet Kate. I didn't want you meeting Kate until I was done smoothing things the hell over. Mackenzie takes my friend the bad word jar out of her backpack and holds it up. I put $2 in. She sticks her face in the mouth of the jar and looks up at me with a frown.
Uncle Drew? Bad words no cost $1 no more. They cost 10.
10? Since when? She's excited.
It was Kate's idea. She say the economy is bad.
What the hell is the economy?
She calls it inflation,
Alexandra finishes with a smile.
Yeah, that.
Inflation. Great. Thanks, Kate. I raise my brows at Mackenzie. Do you take American Express? She giggles. I pay my fine in cash. How about you add up the rest on your calculator, honey? She's going to need it. I have a feeling this little discussion is going to put me in the triple digits. What did you say to Kate? I ask Alexandra. She shrugs.
We talked, one woman to another. I appealed to her business sense. It went well.
You really don't need to know all the details. Why don't you let me decide what I need to know, considering you shouldn't have fucking talked to her at all? Tap, tap, tap. Goes the calculator.
Ungrateful much? I was just trying to help.
Dr. Kevorkian was just trying to help his patients too, and we all know how they turned out. I don't need your help. I have a plan. Alexandra's hands go to her hips.
Right. Your master plan that entails what exactly? Annoying Kate until she agrees to go out with you? You gonna call her names on the playground too? Pull on her braids?
I have to admit, Sister Beatrice was an interesting touch. I can't believe Kate isn't falling on her knees, begging you to take her back after that. Very romantic, Drew. My jaw clenches. It's working. She raises a brow. That's not what Kate said. And there she is. Take a good look. The bitch in all her glory. And you thought I was overreacting. Did she say something to you about me? What did she say? She waves her hand in the air.
Oh, this and that.
You know how some kids like to tease their dogs by showing them a bone and then yanking it away before they can bite it? My sister was one of those kids. God damn it, Lex. Tap, tap, tap.
I like her, by the way, she says. She really doesn't take any shit, does she?
Tap, tap, tap. How do you know she doesn't take any shit? Tap, tap, tap. Did you give her shit, Lex?
Tap, tap, tap.
What kind of shit did you give her, Alexandra?
Tap, tap, tap.
She laughs. My God, would you relax? I haven't seen you this wound up in, well, never. Now that you're not pathetic and sad, it's actually kind of fun.
My status with Kate at the moment is like a house of cards. I've managed to build myself up a few floors, but one small tremor and the whole damn thing could fall apart.
If you fuck this up for me, I'll
tap, tap, tap.
You know how stress causes premature gray hair. If you keep this up, you're going to look like Daddy before you turn 30.
I'm glad you find this so amusing. I don't. We're talking about my frigging life here. That sobers her up. She tilts her head to the side, appraising me. And then her voice isn't teasing anymore. It's tender, sincere.
I'm proud of you, you know. You're sticking this out, seeing it through. You're all grown up.
She smiles softly.
Never thought I'd see the day.
And then she hugs me.
It'll be okay, Drew. Promise.
When I was 8, my grandfather had a heart attack. After my parents left for the hospital, Alexandra promised me everything would be okay. It wasn't.
Did Kate tell you that?
She shakes her head.
Not in so many words.
Then how do you know? She shrugs again.
It's the estrogen. It gives us ESP. If you had a vagina, you'd know too.
Mackenzie raises her hand proudly.
I have a vagina.
I smirk. Yes, you do, sweetheart. And someday, it's going to help you rule the world.
Johnny Fitzgerald has a penis. He say his penis is better than my vagina.
Johnny Fitzgerald's an idiot. Vaginas beat penises every time. They're like kryptonite. Penises are defenseless against them. My sister puts an end to our discussion.
Okay, that's enough of that lovely conversation. Although I'm sure Mackenzie's preschool teacher will enjoy hearing all about it. Right before she calls Child Protective Services on me.
I put my hands up. I'm just trying to tell her like it is. The sooner she realizes the power she has, the better off she'll be. I check my watch. I need to get upstairs. I look at Mackenzie.
What's the damage, sweetie?
$80.
Ouch. I need to start billing my clients more, or work out some kind of payment plan. As the bills fall into the jar, Alexandra takes her hand.
Come on, Mackenzie. Let's go to the American Girl store and spend some of Uncle Drew's money.
Okay.
They walk across the lobby but stop at the double doors. Mackenzie whispers something to Alexandra and hands over her balloons. Then she runs back to me. I scoop her up and hold her tight as her little arms come around my shoulders and squeeze.
I love you, Uncle Drew.
You ever drink brandy? Usually, I'm more of a whiskey man myself. But a good glass of brandy warms you all over from the inside. And that's me, right now. I love you too, Mackenzie. She pulls back.
Guess what?
What?
Kate asked me what I want to be when I grow up.
I nod. And did you tell her you want to be a princess? Her forehead creases adorably, and she shakes her head.
I don't want to be a princess no more.
Well, that's a relief. What do you want to be? She grins.
A banker.
Fantastic choice. What made you change your mind? Her fingers play with the collar of my shirt as she tells me.
Well, Kate is a investment banker, and you say you're proud of me to be just like her. So that's what I want to be.
After her words sink in, I ask her seriously. Mackenzie, did you tell Kate that I said I wanted you to grow up to be just like her? You see that smile? That's not the smile of a 4-year-old child. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the smile of a genius.
Yep.
I close my eyes and chuckle. I can't believe I didn't think of this myself. Mackenzie is the perfect weapon. My very own baby Borg.
Resistance is futile. Sweetheart, I say, you did Uncle Drew a huge favor. Anything you want for Christmas, name it, and it's yours. And I mean anything. Her eyes widen at the possibilities. She glances at my sister and then whispers conspiratorially.
Can I have a pony?
Oh, boy. I think about it for exactly 1 second. Absolutely. She squeezes me tighter and squeals.
Only don't tell Mommy until after it's delivered, okay?
I may have to enter the witness protection program after this one. Mackenzie kisses my cheek, and I set her on her feet. She skips back to Alexandra, and I wave as they walk out the door. Chapter 25. I walk into Kate's office like a soldier storming the beach at Normandy. She's at her desk, writing rapidly on a yellow legal pad. I'm back. Miss me? She doesn't look up. Desperately. Sarcasm is the oldest defense in the book. I play along. I knew I was wearing you down. What put me over the top, Sister B? Kate pushes back from her desk and crosses her legs. She's wearing new shoes. I didn't notice before. Black Mary Janes with a wicked high heel and a strap around the ankle. Good God. They're the perfect blend of naughty and nice. Sweetness and sex. And my poor, neglected cock convulses as I picture all the fantastic and semi-illegal things I could do to her in those shoes. I've never had a fetish, but I'm thinking about starting one. Kate's voice drags me away from my impure thoughts.
No, it was the visit from your sister, actually. Subtlety doesn't run in your family, does it?
Uh-oh. I was afraid of this. Alexandra has deep-seated psychological issues. She's unstable. You shouldn't listen to anything she says. No one in my family does.
She seemed completely lucid when she was here.
I shrug. Mental illness is a tricky thing. Her eyes squint doubtfully.
You're not serious, are you?
Crap. No lying. Technically, she's never been diagnosed, but her ideas about justice and revenge are certifiable. Imagine Dolores, with a decade more experience to perfect her technique. Kate's face goes slack with understanding.
Oh.
Yep. Welcome to my world, sweetheart.
She brought me coffee, Kate says. Should I drink it?
We both eye the Starbucks cup on her desk, suspiciously. When I was 13, I auctioned off a pair of Alexandra's underwear in the boys' locker room. Dirty ones. When she found out through the grapevine of older sisters, she played it cool. Never let on that she knew. And then she spiked my cocoa pebbles with chocolate-flavored laxatives. I didn't leave the bathroom for 3 days. Now, I realize she's not carrying that kind of grudge against Kate, but still.
I wouldn't.
She nods stiffly and slides the cup back away from her. What'd you think of Mackenzie? I really wanted to be here when you met her. Her smile is warm and genuine.
I think she's amazing.
I'm sure you'll be thrilled to hear she used your calculator on me when I ran into them downstairs. Her smile widens.
That's nice.
I shake my head and Kate says, I see now why Alexandra started the bad word jar, since you seem to spend so much time with Mackenzie.
What do you mean?
She shrugs.
She talks like you. It's not every day you hear a 4-year-old say Prince Charming is a douchebag who's only holding Cinderella back.
That's my girl. Swearing is good for the soul. Kate stifles a laugh, and she looks so tempting I can't help but lean over her chair, trapping her with my arms. Small talk is over. Time to get back to business. Come for a walk with me. My voice is low, persuasive.
No way.
And utterly ineffective. Come on, Kate. It'll just take a minute. I want to show you something. She snorts.
What'd you do? Hire Ringling Brothers to do a show in the lobby? Organize a ticker tape parade in my honor?
I laugh. Don't be ridiculous. I wouldn't do that. Kate raises one skeptical brow. Okay, you're right.